This is the Propelix podcast, a discussion on investing in all things startups. Startup investing is highly risky. Please listen carefully to the disclosures at the end of this podcast.
Hey, Swati. So I wanted to follow up on some of the conversations that we had, I think last time that we met for the podcast, which was around team. Teams often talked about as, you know, one of the most critical areas of investment consideration. And there's a lot that, I think there's a lot of, you know, kind of big thoughts around what, how people should think about team. So I guess the first thing is, you know, why is team such an important part of early stage investing?
Yeah, it is. And as any early stage investor will tell you, it's probably the single most important thing that they base their decision on. The entire company rests on one or two key people, which is, and because there's going to be ups and downs, there's going to be times when you're running out of money or things are not really going well. It's important that those one or two people, the kind of team management, have the ability to take the stress, to keep moving, to continue no matter what. I think Kiki, in her interview, she mentioned the idea of grit. There have been books written about it. Grit certainly is important, but there's also analytical aspects. You know, you have to be able to see the big trends. You have to be able to see the forest for the trees. One moment you have to be this big picture person, but you also have to have the ability to drill down into details in order to execute, because initially there's just a small team. So yes, it is important for those reasons. And many times, you know, companies survive because it's the leaders that take them through it. I mean, take Steve Jobs, you know, he conjured things out of nothing. He kind of came close to bankruptcy, survived, and went on to build great things. That's why team is important.
So, I mean, that's a kind of interesting example. He's obviously very famous. But when you're evaluating team, how do you screen for something like that? Like, how do you tell?
You can't,
this
right?
Is a good team person. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you can't. And that is what baffles me, that we keep saying team, team, team. And there are really no objective metrics. People call it pattern matching. So professional investors call it pattern matching. And to be honest, I've asked a lot of people about what is that pattern that you're looking for? Are you able to look deep into their eyes and say, this is the entrepreneur? Are you going to be able to trust your own judgment for that? Isn't it subjective? And I press investors, how do you tell? Give me examples. Give me some objective criteria. And so far, I haven't really received objective criteria. People continue to talk about pattern matching, which is a very vague term. And because it is vague, it really bothers me, because you can see the patterns that are being matched. You know, women and minorities get the least of the financing. And that's one of my separate topics for discussion. But it is a pet peeve. So I feel like the patterns are not being matched correctly. And I feel people should be looking for different criteria, something which is more objective.
I mean, one of the things that I guess I always think about when looking at this is, like, this is probably different in different markets, right? Like, I mean, one aspect of it is, like, we mostly work in hard science companies. So there is an aspect, and I guess not much of pattern matching, but of this person's experience that does need to match what they're doing. But you're saying outside of that, people also look for kind of non-tangible or, you know, almost, you know, self,
hard to quantify, subjective,
made up criteria.
I mean, most of the time, early stage investors invest because they like that person, because they identify with that person, reminds them of themselves when they were younger or something like that, which is not a very good metric to, it's not a metric. It's not a good indicator of anything, to be honest, right? Mm-hmm. But, and that's why I feel early stage investing, especially venture capital in general, most of the private investing overall, is subject to a lot of behavioral bias. Now, behavioral bias is a well-studied field when it comes to public market investing, because there's data. But behavioral bias, by far, is not well-studied when it comes to private market investing. And venture capital in particular is subject to this because of these reasons. So the one thing I would warn investors, like this whole podcast, it's really about warning people. It's not, I mean, it is, of course, we want to identify the two or three criteria, like you said, you know, the experience that goes with it. But it is very much about warning people, be careful about your own biases. You do have them. All of us have them. I have my own. We need to be aware and be very careful about our own biases when making these investment decisions. That's what I wanted to really talk about today.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Be careful of your own biases. I mean, what do you look at? How do you deal with that? Like, what are the things that you're looking for when you make investments so that you're not, I mean, I don't know what your bias is, but looking for, you know, Swati Jr. In every founder.
No, I would hope not. I would really hope not. But what I would say is there are only a few things which are objective. I think in first grade, you know, my first grader is learning the difference between fact and opinion. I think we should always keep that in mind. What's the fact and what's the opinion? Whether this person has a PhD in this area and has expertise in that is a fact. Whether this person you think will be able to execute is an opinion. If this person has in fact had a successful exit, that's a fact that you can base this on. And what they will do in the future, that's your opinion. So let's separate out the facts from the opinions and focus on the facts. Previous successful exits, expertise in doing things, track record of having successfully executed on specific areas, you know, having held jobs in these areas. And because this sets things a little bit against the first-time founder, obviously the first-time founder has not had that exit, but the first-time founder surely has held jobs, right? And if they haven't held jobs, let's say they're fresh out of college, the first-time founder at minimum can be professional, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the timeliness of your follow-ups, the diligence of your follow-ups, your persistence in the follow-up. Those are things that are facts. They're indicators of something. That's what I can only say. I'm not saying this is by no means gospel. Once again, you know, these are highly risky investments. There is no exact science to judging this. Team is an important criterion. While this has been a lot about warning you against your own behavioral biases, the some positive indicators that we could look to would be past experiences, track record, and professionalism, which is very little to go on, actually.
I actually have some comments on this. So I think those are all really good points. But there's actually some kind of like tactical advice or suggestions that I would add to this conversation. Mm-hmm. And it really comes from the type of diligence that we do on the platform. So one of the things that's been striking to me is trying to really make sure that you understand who is on the team when you're making the investment and what that actually means. So we look at the contracts that people have with people. We look at the cap table, we look at all these things. We actually run bad actor checks on, you know, basically management of a team. And that's probably a bit extreme for an individual angel. Obviously, institutional investors are going to do something similar to that. So founders, you know, are used to it and should be expecting it. But I do kind of just want to like put in a plug for asking kind of point blank about who is actually on the team right now and trying to understand, you know, who's committed, who's a contractor, who's an advisor, you know, what are the roles these people are taking? Because especially in the first couple years of the business, as you said, you know, it's going to get down to who's bearing the weight of growth, who's actually figuring out, you know, who's in the trenches doing these things. And that's something that, you know, if you looked at someone's LinkedIn page, you might see 10 people on the team. And interestingly, sometimes if you look at a startup's LinkedIn page, you might see that someone who's on the team is actually full-time employed somewhere else. So yeah, there's a lot of wrinkles to get through when you understand the team. And I think we talked today mostly about management, But I did just want to kind of plug this last tactical perspective, which is to actually like just ask them, who is actually on the team? Who's on your payroll? Who's a contractor? What is your plan for growth? Who's your next hire? Those shed a lot of light on where the company is in its kind of corporate development and how the team thinks about things.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. Agreed with you. Asking is a good idea. Part of your diligence, just ask point blank. I mean, I think surprisingly so many people overlook that simple tactic. Yeah. But that's all that I have on the team.
All right, everyone. It's a wrap for the day. We'll see you next time. Till then, this is Andy.
And this is Swati. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Propelix is a funding platform, not a broker-dealer. Securities are offered through Hubble Investments, member FINRA SIPC, and an affiliate of Propelix. Private investments are highly illiquid and risky and are not suitable for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. You should speak with your financial advisor, accountant, and/or attorney when evaluating private offerings. Neither Propelix nor Hubble Investments makes any recommendations or provides advice about investments. Additional information and disclosures can be found on our website, propelix.com.